أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وبه نستعين. ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا وحبيب قلوبنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد. وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين لا سيما بقية الله في الأرضين أرواحنا له فداء. أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة
الله. الحمد لله، it is an honor to sit here before you to speak about the second letter of Sayyidina al-Qa'id, Ayatollah Khamenei. And what comes to mind when I read this letter was actually verse 108 of Surah Yusuf. So it's chapter 12 of the Quran, verse 108, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he tells his prophet to announce and say to his community, قُلْ هَذِهِ سَبِيلِي أدعو إلى الله على بصيرة أنا ومن اتبعني. So this is my path and this is my way by which I call to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala based on insight, al-basira, based on basira. I do this and likewise anyone who follows me. And this is what the Prophet is saying, that if you're to follow the Prophet, if you're to follow Rasulullah, then you must call unto the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with basira. This letter, the second letter of Ayatollah Khamenei, is one that is perfused with basira, with insight. And for us who want to benefit from this letter, then we too must engage in this insight, or understand, first and foremost, understand the insight with which this letter has been written, and then begin to apply it. And this is one of the things that I want to speak about and emphasize, is the application of what Sayyidina al-Qa'id is speaking about in this letter. I'll start with just something that he says in the very end of the letter, because this is where we want to get to. This is the goal. Because the whole letter comes to this conclusion, or at the end, that where do we want to be? And what is our responsibility and duty? He says that he asks the youth to lay the foundation for an appropriate and honorable interaction with the Muslim world, based on correct knowledge and with deep insight, by taking advantage of the tragedies of the past, the experience of those tragedies. So what Ayatollah Khamenei, he's asking us to do is, again, to have basira, to have insight on one hand, and also allow the past and what we have as a nation, as a ummah, within our past, to guide us through the present. That was it not that Islam was always something that was not challenged? From the very first day that the Prophet, he raised the banner of La ilaha illallah, that there is no God but God, he was challenged. And he met that challenge. Our very existence today is proof of that, that he met this challenge. So how do we meet this challenge in our time? And from what we can gain from the letter, the second letter of our leader, Ayatollah Khamenei. There are three things which I want to point to that we must have and what we must take away from this letter, and I'll explain those also in a bit of detail. We'll engage or we'll speak about that. One of the things that we must take away is that we must understand the contradictions that exist. We must understand the rhetoric which exists in our time, the rhetoric which is portrayed or tossed towards Islam. And of course, some of these things were pointed out in the previous presentations. For example, the media, what happens in the media, how the art of rhetoric which goes on in the media. Some of the things that perhaps even ourselves we have not precisely picked out. And I'll say this because we often use this, but if we are very precise, then we will actually avoid this term that we quite often come across, because it is not something that we ourselves coined, it's something, again, the media coined, and we are on that bandwagon and keep using. Islamophobia. First of all, let me ask you, what is a phobia? What is a phobia? What's that?
False fear.
False fear. It's also often linked with disease, anxiety. So is Islamophobia? That we say Islamophobia, the Islamic disease? Islam is not a phobia. But we keep using this term, oh, well, these are Islamic phobia attacks. No, those are ignorant people. Those are people who, again, they have not, you know, again, they have their fears or whatever, but to be very precise and to extract something that Ayatollah Khamenei, he mentions in his letter that we should be very clear about, and that is terrorism and terrorizing people. Again, something that is color-coded and whitewashed in the media. Because when you think of terrorists, what do you think of? Immediately, what comes to mind or what they want to portray in the minds of people is, oh, this is someone who is a Muslim, someone who has a long beard, someone who believes in a particular way. But when we look into what terrorism means and what it means to terrorize someone, then look up this word. Go look it up and see what it means. It means to, when you terrorize someone or a person who is a terrorist, usually belongs to a group of individuals who have a particular political agenda, and they advance their political agenda through violence and through creating fear in others, those who oppose them. And if we understand this, then we understand that there are terrorists with different cloaks, different types of clothes, and we should call the terrorist by its name. Not simply continue to highlight this image or what is portrayed as the image of a terrorist in the media by saying, oh, this is Islamophobia. If you attack people, Muslims, because of your political agenda to remove Muslims, an individual who is upright, who is righteous, an individual who is law-abiding, if you do this in order to remove them or in order to make them leave a country that they live in, you are terrorizing those individuals. And they should be categorized and classified as terrorists. In North Carolina, a place where I'm from, there was a man who shot three Muslims, students, they were graduate students, knocked on their door, and he shot them in cold blood because they were Muslim. Was he simply a murderer? Or was he a terrorist? The media would say, oh, he was a murderer, or, you know, he was angry, he was upset. But again, if his action is based upon, again, a political agenda, even one that has been fed to him by the media, then he's a terrorist. He's a terrorist by the very definition of the word. What we should do, again, first of all, understand the contradiction. This is one of the things that is pointed out very clearly in the letter of Ayatollah Khamenei. And in fact, he mentions this, or at least he alludes to this idea of defining terrorism as well. He says, what kind of violence can be compared to compared today with the Zionist regime and their settlement and their brutality against the Palestinians? Is that defense of themselves, which is quite often mentioned in the media? Oh, they're just defending themselves. Or are they terrorizing the people? They have a political agenda. They are a group of people, they are a group of individuals, and they are terrorizing the Palestinians. Call it by its name. This is one of the things that is required of us if we are going to follow the letter of Ayatollah Khamenei, the second letter. Be very sharp, be aware, understand the contradictions, and call things by their name. I want to put this in light of something that is, or something that has happened very recently, because, again, this is a basira. A subhanallah, our leader Ayatollah Khamenei, he has. And this is something that we have to develop, something that we have to be very precise with. The letter, second letter, was issued on the 29th of November. 20 days later, what happens? A massacre in Nigeria. The killing of unarmed Muslims by individuals who have a political agenda. It's very clear they have a political agenda. Are they not terrorists? Were not the Muslims terrorized in that country because of their belief and because of their stance against injustice? Because that's what Sheikh Zakzaki he advocated. There were individuals who are not simply Shia who followed him and who aligned themselves with him. There were Christians as well. That he stood for justice. He stood against corruption that was going on in that country. But then he was killed. Or he was shot at. He was attacked. And right now, no one knows about his state, whether he's alive or whether he's become a martyr. But this is one of the things that we are asked to do, to define terrorism. That what exactly is terrorism? What is going on? And not only for ourselves to have this consciousness and to be aware of the contradictions, but to make other people aware of these contradictions that are going on. To wake ourselves up first and foremost, and then to wake others up. To wake them up from the slumber that they are living in. Now, one of the things I think was very, key to one of the prior presentations, and that was made during the presentation about the media. And one thing was said, and I identify with this very much, is that when we talk to people and when we advocate, again, la ilaha illallah, or justice, actually, this is our, you know, our whole understanding, our life, the principles by which we live by, are founded upon justice. This is what we want. This is what we are advocating, we should be advocating. But that justice, again, is not color-coded. And we cannot color-code it, we cannot whitewash it. And this is one of the reasons for which the attack in Nigeria happened, because Sheikh Zakzaki was like, no, this is justice for everybody. And if we read very precisely what Ayatollah Khamenei is saying, this is what we have to do. Because how do you link the youth? And again, you can interpret this two ways, that the youth should have a relationship with the Muslim world. Of course, if it is talking about us as Muslims, yes, we all identify with the Muslim world in some way or another, either for going for ziyarat, or we have to go for hajj, or you know, our relatives are from there. So we may identify in some way, some sort of way. But if also that youth that he's speaking about in the West, and this is again one of the basirahs of Ayatollah Khamenei, which is very general, that they also must identify with the Muslim world, understand what is going on in the Muslim world. So that means the burden of them understanding is upon our shoulders, who should know what's going on in the Muslim world, should know the rhetoric that is being launched against Islam and against Muslims and the Muslim world. And therefore, we will be that medium for them to understand exactly what is going on. But at times, it takes us, or it takes from us, to have that basira, to have that insight, and to have that bravery to stand up for justice wherever we live and in the entire world. Because yes, we can stand up, we can have protests, and we could talk about what happened in Nigeria, which we should be doing in our respective countries, talking about that. But at the same time, when we see injustice in our own country, we have a responsibility. This was the sirat, this is the way of the Prophet and way of the Ahlul Bayt, alayhim afdhalu salatu wassalam. And if you ask me that what happened in the streets of Ferguson, what happened in New York, what has happened in the streets of Oakland, California, in Baltimore, there's a group of people, they were terrorized. Yes, people who are the terrorists, they were wearing a certain badge, but it's terrorism. And this is not something that happened just a few weeks or months ago. This has been happening for years. And we have to have the courage to stand up for those individuals who are being oppressed, no matter what their religion is, no matter what their color is, no matter what their language is. And when we do this, and when we make this connection, again, I can guarantee you that if you show the average, you went to the hood, and you show them what happened in Nigeria, they'll say, oh man, I can identify with that. They understand what's going on. You've just made a connection. If and when the Wall Street movement was going on, the 99 against the 1% who are oppressing them, if we had drawn the connection between that and what was happening in Bahrain, the 1% who is oppressing the 99% of the Bahrainis, we draw that connection, they can identify with that. And you've just connected their struggle with the struggle of Muslims around the world. And what is our struggle? It's for justice. It's for uniting people against oppression and against injustice. And for me, this is what the second letter has outlined. We read it very carefully, read it in detail. This is what Ayatollah Khamenei is saying. This is something that is a message that we have from the Quran. This is a message which the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam he advocated. This is what his Ahlul Bayt has advocated. And they've done so with basira. And if we study the seerah of Ahlul Bayt alayhim afdhalu salatu wassalam, yes, we see that at different times there were different measures that called for advocating and calling people to this justice, waking people up, delivering them or calling them to use their mind, to not to be enslaved or oppressed mentally, which is perhaps one of the worst type of oppressions. Not simply physical oppression, but when you have people who are mentally oppressed, whereby they become indifferent with regards to injustices. They are silent when it comes to standing up for justice and what is right. That is the worst type of oppression. And in fact, if you want to call it by his name, those are people who have been terrorized mentally because they are afraid to speak up for what is right. Speak up for what is right. They've been terrorized. They've been taught to turn off their consciousness, their intellect, their values for what is right and what is wrong. Shut it down. And when it's shut down, this is when individuals or those groups who are real terrorists, they can do whatever they want, and no one says anything. And they'll get away with it. And they dare you to question them. But that's our responsibility. That is our duty. That if we are really going to step up to the plate and to live the life of Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. And that's what we may do. That's what we must do. And die the death of Muhammad and Ali Muhammad. In order to achieve this, there's another point which is mentioned in the letter of Ayatollah Khamenei, Sayyidina al-Qa'id. And to some point he addresses this, again, he addresses it to the youth of the West. And again, we can take it in, you know, whether it is us as Muslim youth or non-Muslim youth. And this is a point that we must understand, we must also observe, that if we're going to truly walk the walk of this letter. He says, don't be hasty and reactionary. Hastiness is not going to get you anywhere. Being a reactionist is not going to get you anywhere. But having that basira, having understanding, and being able to deliver that to others, this is what will create ground. This is what will break ground. This is what will, again, establish that, or help establish justice in the world. So I will not take too much more time, but just to, again, say that it is our responsibility, I think those of us who are definitely here, who are in the Hausa, who is learning, to shoulder this message. And again, the basira of this message is for everyone. And again, of course we are lovers of the walaya, but this message is for every single individual who claims and truly states La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. Not simply for those who, again, say, oh, well, I follow the walayat of Ayatollah Khamenei. No, it's for everyone. And this is something that, again, we have the responsibility to make sure that they understand that. That this is your duty. That you say, La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah. What did the Prophet stand for? What does the Quran stand for? And by doing this, again, what we must do, what we will do, or what we hope to achieve, is to distinguish what exactly is Islam. Who are the Muslims? Who are standing for those values and principles that the Prophet himself stood for? And who are those individuals who are falsely making that claim. So inshallah, I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He gives all of us the strength, the tawfiq, success to do this, to give us the courage to do this, because it takes courage. The letter itself takes courage. Takes courage to write. And this is something we must derive. This is something that we must take to heart if we're going to fulfill our duty and our responsibility with regards to this letter. I think the first phase was pretty good. People got out, they delivered that message. They hopefully have made themselves a source for people to understand Islam, a correct source. But now we must take it to the next level and show that we are a source of justice and we are against injustice, no matter who inflicts it, and we will call the injustice and the terrorism and the terrorization by its name. So inshallah, I pray that, again, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us strength, courage to fulfill this duty and this responsibility. And may He hasten the reappearance of Imam Zaman, Ajal Faraj al-Sharif. Make us among his helpers, his companions, and those who sacrifice their lives for him. Wa akhiru da'wana, and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.